Work on that little look.
Let's see, you were saying.
So I don't know what happened, but I remember my father holding him upside down.
Oh, and he was able to shake it out? Oh, good. Lucky.
Maybe they had two men up there or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I remember on Saturday afternoons, my brothers and I could go in for nothing because my dad was running it.
And what were the movies? Were they westerns or? Do you remember? That's what we had.
You always had. Not necessarily western. They had all the good shows in town too. Many times before they get to the city for some reason.
But
you always had the newsreel plus the first year of comedy thing. All the newsreel.
That cartoon. What about cultural things in town? Were there lectures, dance performances, or
not,
theater coming through?
Not too much on that.
They used to have, when I was in high school, they have those things where they, remember I was in one of them over at the Stewart Theater?
They had a show in town, but they recruited people from town to put on the show, but there were. There's a theater group in town that put on the show, remember my brother Todd and those guys went too?
Oh, really, huh?
Sure, your brother, Walt.
Oh, yeah.
They used to have one in the town hall.
There was a thing called that my mother used to go to it in the church called Chautauqua.
Oh yes, Chautauqua. Chautauqua was it was a famous place where lectures took place. That's Chautauqua, New York, just above the city somewhere. And they had a big tent there. Mark Twain and Emerson and
all those people.
You know, they used to come there.
Now that's not evangelism, because evangelists used to come through too.
Oh, evangelists came through here?
And I can remember, what's that song? Right in the corner where you are. Right in the corner where you are.
That was before mine.
Well, this is when I was a kid and I used to go with my mother. And they all sang, right in the corner where you are. Remember that?
I don't remember that. We had the Holy Rollers every Friday night back in Rock Island, Illinois, this was. And instead of going to movies or someplace like that, we'd go to the tent and sit in the back row and watch them go through that.
Well, I do
all
remember.
All the towns had their own basketball team, too.
Yes, I played basketball.
All the different towns around. Then in the summertime, they'd have teams that came through, like the team with the beards.
The House of David. Oh,
true.
I was there.
Yeah, what a big thing. So we're at a carnival. It's all the carnival.
Carnival. Always had a carnival. Yeah.
Once in a while, you get a one-ring circus with a poor decrepit elephant. Two things like that.
We can safely say that we had most of our entertainment in town or close to it. We never started going anywhere much till we were married. And then we'd go to the World's Fair in New York or something like that. But we spent an awful lot of time at Keenan Airport when we were young, because we went there before we went to Barrington. Keenan Airport was different than it is now.
It's not where it is now.
It's not even where it is now.
It's right where the road goes out of Keenan North into Ashland Falls.
Right.
You can see the hangar on the left-hand side still there. It was in Massachusetts. It was up in Barrington, Massachusetts.
Take a look at it. Isn't it funny? I've not noticed it.
Unfortunately, what
did you start flying here locally?
Yeah.
One of our friends was killed there, fake card, when he took off with a man he didn't know, which was not good because Faye was a good pilot. But he went up with this man and they hit the house there at the end of the airport and they were
hit the house itself, end of the airport. This end you can still see where they replaced a cement block, hit and burned.
Johnny Staber flew out of Great Barrington.
John did.
I think a friend of mine, Earl Brecker from the
Johnny taught him to fly.
You taught him to fly?
Sure.
He was just over this morning.
And his wife.
Something. And Virginia too.
Yeah.
They are so happy.
Yeah.
Are you seeing Virginia lately?
I saw her about 2 months ago, but she's doing.
About shoulder,
it's coming along very, very well.
What is she doing?
Anything else that comes to mind?
Jenny doesn't quite know what we've covered, but
right.
If you can think of anything, huh? Any little funny.
I think we have mentioned how much more clear the lake was and weed free it used to be years ago.
I did say the water was so clean and beautiful.
Absolutely. fish club or fish with drinkers before.
We, as I say, we had the best 21 years you could have on that lake. I mean, for some good years before that, but after that, it hasn't been so good. I guess they're doing their best to get it.
Well, then, apparently that's a problem all through the country,
right,
isn't it? The age of the lakes and so on.
Nature, I believe.
Nature.
Well, look at the things that are going into the water and into the air.
Well, that doesn't do it any good.
No, acid rain. Fertilizer from different places.
Sure.
What about acid rain, too?
Acid rain.
Geese?
Yeah. All of these things.
Yeah. It's just the earth is getting older.
That's true.
That's more stuff is happening to it, I guess. More
they have a lot of snails in the lake here, too.
They have snails in the lake here?
They were put in every once in a while, they find them, they're dead, they float up. They say that the geese brought them in and stuff like that. That's not true.
We know
they
how
they put in by Mary Rainsbury, who lived next door to us. I remember the day she put them in. They were Japanese snails, she said, and they keep the bottom clean around their swimming area. Well, of course, they're all over the lake now. There's a spread.
They were the people.
Well, do they do any good?
I don't know whether they do any good or not, but I know they die every once in a while, they float up.
Well, they don't seem to have done any good.
Oh, where the weeds are in the lake now.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
Mary and Bill are both gone now. Bill was a county sheriff. He was quite a big.
He's a contractor.
Yeah, a Rainsford's building. Now that's right where the firehouse is, or right next door to it, that little building.
Which building? His construction building?
Yeah.
Right down there when you come down by the Holly place, the old back road. And Bill and Mary had a nice place next to us on the lake.
Did you mention Speed's to the Holly place building there?
No.
Oh, yes.
Speed's started after the knife shop closed down many years ago. It sat idle. And then as the war came along, Sid Coles and another couple of towns decided to renovate it and get it ready, and had a contract to make a Speed's for ski tools. So I went to work for them. I was the first one they hired, and had to hire, get the things out of there. The old machinery and things like that in there, and boxes of knives they make for World War I that had the spoon, knife, and fork right in it. The barrels of those things. And anyhow, finally got that done. Then we made Speed's for the ski troops for a long time. The way they came out, the billets came in from the south, hickory. We made hickory ski, and just the plain billets of wood. That was cut up and formed and made into skis. We shipped that thing, we inspected them, we shipped out to every army wanted. There's quite a few people working there. There were girls working upstairs, and I don't think 8 or 10 were putting steel edges on the skis. And down below on the first floor, is where the skis were formed, and the basement was where the wood was cut to the thing and planed to the desired thickness and so on. And they were laminated, they were all laminated skis. It was a very nice job. We tried out a lot of stuff there.
That was before you went in the service.
Before I went in the service, yeah.
Then Johnny went in for 2 years. He was in Hawaii for one.
What service was?
I was in the Air Corps in the communications, AACS.
Oh, yeah.
Army Air Force Communications System.
I was there, Air Corps Intelligence.
Oh, yeah.
You were?
Were there any other war industries in the area here? That was the only one.
That's the only one that I can.
What was the atmosphere? Can you remember what the atmosphere was like in this area during the war?
Well, the only thing I can definitely remember about it was at one time you couldn't drive for any pleasure at all, just for me.
All right, we had
you wanted to go visit somebody, you walked.
Coupons.
Oh, the gas coupons.
Yeah, well, you get 3 gallons a week, was it? Something like that.
Who said food coupons, too?
And food coupons,
butter
too.
Butter or something like that?
Meat,
my wife.
Butter, sugar.
Yeah.
But I don't remember any other war industries coming up.
They didn't do it. Of course, years and years ago was the knife shop as well.
I can't remember how many people
there
had to be.
Come to think of it, were there any other industries in Lakeville other than the Holly?
We forgot about the Chinaman's laundry.
That was.
Oh, where was that?
That's where K&E is now, across from the Holly place.
Oh, yes.
That used to be the forge shop where the knife was doing, the main knives. And then he did the Chinaman's. I don't know what his name was, we always called it the Chinaman, that's all. He had a Chinese laundry.
It was a Chinese person then.
That's
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I wonder where he went to.
Long gone now.
No, but I wondered why he... Was that when Sulbury Products bought it, Taconic Products bought it.
I don't know who they bought it from, but I think it was probably.
There used to be some places up there they called the Beehive that were for poor people.
A beehive?
No, actually the building.
It was a building.
Apartment center.
And it was for poor people? The local poor people?
It was, yes, local, but it was where the people that didn't have very much income, who don't physically afford to live. And right on the pond, on the north shore of the factory.
Oh, and there used to be a swinging bridge across there.
Where was that?
Across the pond.
A swinging bridge?
Uh-huh.
You call it a swinging bridge, it's on.
Because you walked.
It was on cables, and it, as you walked across, it would swing.
Well, what purpose did that have, or was it just?
Just to get from one side to the other, that's all.
Well, we'd come down the Millerton Road, what's now the Millerton Road, come across the lot, across the bridge, and over to the lake.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I see. Right, I see, that.
And it was brought in the middle of the pond.
Was the road there, the one that goes in front of, you know, where the Holly, where the Holly Place is, or where the Lakeville Journal was that road there then?
Yes, that was.
Yeah, that was there. But, so you didn't have to come that far.
No, we go cross lots. I know how kids do it.
Oh, that must have been fun.
Yeah, we get up, and in the winter when we skated, we'd hang our coats and things on it, or, you know, we'd just use the bridge, put our skates on. It would have, wouldn't it have to, you could get your legs down between it.
Oh, it's just wire.
Wire.
The cables came down.
Yeah. And you sit on the bridge and put your skates on. Big bonfires.
You mentioned that Salisbury was different at that time. Or did you mention
that? Salisbury was smaller than Lakeville.
Yes, it was. Salisbury, this is where the markets were, and everybody came to shop. And the Friday and Saturday night, it was crowded in town. So that's when the stores were, particularly Saturday night. That's when people came into town to do their shopping.
Does that mean that those stores, you know, even Shagbury, when we first came here, of course, was right on the main street, those stores were not there?
No, what was before that? I don't think there was a market there called Kimberly's Market before Shagbury.
Yes, and, you mentioned.
Yeah, but I don't think that was there.
No, I didn't mention Kimberly, I mentioned Casey.
Oh, Casey's.
Salisbury grew since they took stuff off the main street there. Mm-hmm. That's not.
And of course, when what's his name closed the market here, then I suppose people came to the Shagbury Market. What's his name that was in the market? Forgot his name.
Not Casey, but the Brickman.
Brickman. Yeah, Morris Brickman.
Yeah, Morris Brickman.
Whatever happened to them?
Well, they went to Florida.
Oh, they settled.
They lived up in Palm. Palm City up on the
Palm Coast.
But then Morris used to come back once in a while in the summer, and then somebody said something happened to his eyes. And I don't think they come north anymore, but they had sons. I imagine they're both still alive.
I remember he had a daughter that was in class, I believe.
And they had a son who used to work in the store, remember? Yeah. The big kind of fat one. And then the younger, Stuart Brickman, that was his son. But I don't know if the mother and father are alive or not. I guess they are, but they just don't make the trip back up in the summer.
I was under the impression that Lakeville at one point, I mentioned this before, brought in, that people came here as if it were a resort. I'm under the impression that Estelle Staver mentioned is that.
Well, they came because of the lake.
Gateway Inn up there.
Gateway Inn.
The people.
The Inn
like
it was here then?
Oh, sure, but not the building it is now. That's where. But
the Gateway.
My mother and father spent part of the honeymoon there.
Oh, across from that was the telephone office. You know where Community Fuel is?
Yes.
That was the telephone office. That's
where Community Fuel is now?
Yeah.
Was the telephone office at that time, yes.
Yeah. My dad was there for years.
That's when you had operators, not dial-a-thons.
Yes.
My dad, until he was transferred to or went to Hartford to work, he was upgraded, you know, on a different kind of a job.
Now the White Hart Inn, of course, was here. Didn't someone tell me that George Washington presumably slept at the White Hart Inn? Where didn't he sleep?
I don't know. I never heard that story.
You never heard that?
It's that old.
Oh, it's
Farm
not that old.
Farm Tavern used to be used.
It might have been Bushnell Tavern, which is what.
Well, the Farm Tavern is now. Was Bushnell Tavern?
No,
Bushnell was
Salisbury up there.
Across from where the town hall. Yeah.
Don Warner. Don Warner.
Oh, oh.
Oh, that was a Don Warner house, that corner house?
Yeah, that's the one that sold for $1 million, that
yeah, big? Yeah, that doctor who a came room? Here for a room and came for a short time.
I didn't know.
He did very well.
But the Farm Tavern was used for, wasn't that used in the old stagecoach days?
Yeah, sure was.
At which tavern now?
Farm Tavern.
And where was that?
Halfway up the hill.
Halfway up the hill.
On the right
hand side. Oh, towards Miller.
Just beyond the blinker light.
Yeah, on the right.
Oh.
It's apartments.
Is that the one? Oh, the apartments. That that was Farnham Tavern.
That was a tavern for years. We used to go there when there was a tavern.
No, but it opened up again for a while.
Oh, and then another thing that was there right before that was Smith's Garage that burned. And I remember when I was a girl, it burned and a man burned in it.
Oh.
And that was between the Farm Tavern and...
The building's not there anymore.
I what would have brought a Chinese man up here? Probably just business or something.
I don't know anybody that even knew his name or talked to him. I mean, when you're a kid, they were scared of him. You know, it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the cartoons about you know, what was that? That big heavy guy in the movies all the time.
No, I don't know. Charlie Chan or something.
Something like that.
Right.
Yeah. How about other, now there aren't many black families even now. I know when I was teaching in Houstonic, I think we had 7 or 8 black families. Were there black families when you were growing up?
Oh, yes. My son grew up with a boy who's now one of the managers of Bradley Airport.
Operation manager, Bradley.
Operation manager.
Oh, Palmer.
Billy Palmer.
Oh, Palmer's from the Palmer.
Oh, they're a wonderful family. They're all their boys done extremely well.
Oh, they're great.
They're nice people, all of them.
My older boy and Billy were friends all through their teens, and then they separated when they went to school.
He lived at our house, practically, Billy.
Yeah, Billy did.
He flew with Billy.
Now the Palmer's, he was at the garage here.
That's a son.
And then there's, I interviewed, come to think of it, her father was here.
Walter Palmer?
What's his name?
Walter.
I don't recall. No, I don't think it was Palmer. There's a lady who I think works as a nurse, a black lady that lives on Martin Road.
Bertha Folks.
Bertha Folks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Bertha Folks. Yeah.
Well, they always lived down that way. Now, they're farther over. There was this, Branches, the Palmers, and
Folks.
The Folks.
Chabot.
And they were always nice people.
Oh, that's right. Sure.
But there.
And Chabot, too.
Yeah.
And Chabot. And they were always wonderful people. Nobody ever had any feeling, my boys never had any feeling against any other color person.
That's interesting.
It never made any difference in this town.
There weren't that many of them, but they were accepted.
Bertha Folks' husband, Billy, he was killed in an accident at community service. A load of cement blocks fell on, something like that. So
the one thing they didn't do, they did not date together. That I do know. Now, Billy went to England in the service where black people were treated equally.
Yes.
And when he came back home to America, he had a little problem because he had been treated as a white person, I believe. And Billy went with Air America. And
you ever hear of Air America?
Oh, yes. Sure.
And he was in charge of operations at the end, and I guess that was a pretty rugged job over in the South Pacific.
He got a dispatcher's license through the FAA, and he put the thing.
And he came out, and I don't know, what did he do after that? Well, he had a college degree in something. But anyhow, he ended up as a manager at Bradley, where there are several, within 24 hours.
He's there now.
He's in charge of operations.
Oh, charge of operations.
Very good.
And he's doing very well. Billy is a bright person.
They tried to hire Boston, tried to hire him away, and he was going to go until they met the same pay scale out here in Bradley.
He married a little girl from the Philippines, and they have two darling daughters. And now they live in Bloomington. He has a beautiful home near
Bloomfield.
I'm thinking of Minnesota.
Indiana. Bloomington, Indiana, isn't it?
Bloomington, Minnesota, and...
Oh, there is a one in Minnesota, is there? Yes.
My son used to live there. So that Billy has done, and frankly, the only boy who did not go too far was John. He was the one who stayed in town. Henry went in the service and stayed in. He had a career. One of the boys is way up in insurance business. Billy's at the airport, and what was, and the little one, what was the little
Bobby.
Bobby?
I know.
Bobby's in insurance too, I think.
Yes, he's got a good job out there too.
So they all had careers, and of course John has a career, but I mean, it's not exactly as good financially probably as the other boys. But I don't know, John's got a lovely wife. She's got a lot to do with the daycare center.
Oh, is that so?
Does she run it?
Oh, yes. I met her through Laura,
good looking
didn't I?
Woman.
Yes, that's
tall.
Right. Yes.
Well, that's Johnny's wife. Well, and they live right down here at the end of the road.
Yes.
Which I thought was pretty sad when they cut those roads across there. Right. They call it progress.
You mentioned there was a Jones that owned the Lakeville Journal when you
Ben Jones.
Ben Jones. One of the very nice things is, I think, that there is, still an independent newspaper in some towns. How did that develop? Who took it after Bob Jones?
Ben Jones.
Ben
Hoskins.
Jones.
Hoskins.
Oh, is that when he came in? Oh, I see.
And that's been until...
And what's his name? Took it over.
Esterbrook and now somebody...
He lives over in Salisbury. I've forgotten his name. He's right across from the White Hart Inn. I don't recall his name.
Jenny.
Can you think of any other changes that have taken place? You mentioned quite a few, but can you think of any other changes that have taken place in the community?
Just developing the way of housing and people moving in, that's all.
Yeah, a lot of that. how big was the population when you were growing up here? Do you have any idea? Was it smaller or bigger than now?
Smaller.
Much smaller.
But years ago, it was probably bigger than this now, when the mines were open and stuff like that, Oriole. In fact, Oriole over there during the war, a fellow by the name of Dickey pumped that out. It was going to open up again for as normal, but it never passed, nothing ever happened. The big pumps were trying to dry it out.
I worked on the checkers at the town hall for years. I'm trying to think. Well, that was back. Oh, of course, that wasn't that. Well, it was a good 20 years ago, wasn't it?
It wasn't
back
checkers?
In the old days. But
what was checkers?
The ones who checked you off when you came in to vote.
I see. Yes.
I'd be there from 5:15 in the morning, like they are now, until 8:00 at night, and then I come home and I couldn't see straight. But I was trying to think of what the voting list was then, and probably. Was much more than probably 1,300, 1,400. What is it now?
About, let's say, well, from the votes, of probably about 2,000.
Yeah, it's more than that.
More than that.
Of course, you have your part-time residents who vote here now.
Oh, of course, you have the absentee.
And the absentee.
Yeah, from the part-time residents, right. Yeah.
But that wasn't far enough back to be what you really thought of the past.
But probably discussed the railroad for sure.
We talked about the railroad, and it went from the, it went right, that was the station there where the nurse's office, and then it went right across the street to community and on to
Canada.
I told about my trip on the milk train to New York.
Yes, that was interesting. Did the high school take many trips into New York Natural History Museum?
It took it
or
to Washington
Hartford?
In your senior year. I don't know if they still do that or not.
Yes, they do, or at least when I was there, yes.
You could see all the government buildings and things like that. And then, as I said, the eighth grade I graduated, but then I was at that little school up where Metz's apartment was, I think, When Miss Forty was my first grade teacher, she used to use the ruler. Remember that?
That's halfway.
I remember that.
Halfway up Mount Jones Street, though.
Yeah, that one across from the
one you mentioned.
Next to the Masonic Hall there, I guess that's still the Masonic Hall. It was at a school now. But you know, things evolve so slowly, not slowly, but gradually over the years that you can't. You can remember your childhood, but in between it's sort of, you're busy and you're.
Oh, sure.
You're not paying much attention to what's going on unless it relates to you and your own activities. But I can just remember we had a good child. We had good years.
You lived here during the Depression years, were you?
Well, I graduated from high school at 31.
Oh,
now,
right.
So the crash was 29.
Right.
And I know that my dad, although he was a full-time telephone employee, he had to work another job. He had the radio shop because he had three children to bring up. And now that I'm at the age where I can understand what that crash was, it certainly must have been difficult. Because
well, even when I was still in Depression, when I was working at a wrecking outfit taking up the railroad, and you're getting the pay was then $15 a week. That was a 6-day week, but not any 8 hours. And it got light in the morning, it got dark at night. And I nearly got fired from not working Thanksgiving Day. Remember that distinctly.
It seems like everything that Johnny did, flying, skiing, everything, it was a long day. You started early in the, we used to go to Chimney Peak at 7 o'clock in the morning, and you wouldn't get home until way after dark. And the same way with the airports, we had to get our boys' cars, not great cars, when they were 16. Because we had been taxiing them back and forth to the airport. And we'd pick them up, one of us, at 10 o'clock at night, after dark. And so that our family has always had, up until the time that we could take things easier, long days.
I think all service work
is like that.
Is
if you don't
like,
have a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, if you don't have a 9-to-5, right. If it's not a factory job or.
Yeah.
Or something, you know, a shoemaker works at his trade.
We
he's
in the
finished.
Factory for a little while in Torrington.
I worked at the defense plant in Torrington. Torrington Company down there where they make bearings, and I stayed there for a while on this piecework. I thought I'd rather be in the service any day than tied into this.
A little more freedom than that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe some of these people. The job they've done for 30 years, they just automate part of the machinery.
Never forget when I first visited the Ford factory, you know, in Detroit, and then saw Charlie Chaplin's Modern Times. Did
yeah,
you see that? It was perfect.
Absolutely, yeah.
You mentioned that the railroads that you helped disassemble that.
Yeah.
Do you remember what years that was approximately?
Yeah, let's see, it had to be. Must be around 36.
Around 36. What caused the turndown?
I suppose it's natural evolution of truck traffic taking over.
That's already as early as that.
Freight and stuff like that. Of course, this is all steam through here then, too. They weren't using pieces on this road at that time. But I think it's probably because, and again, during the Depression, the stuff wasn't being shipped as much either, so probably went. Didn't have enough to take care of. Passenger traffic fell off. The buses were picking it up.
And when the war came along, there wasn't enough.
When the war came along, the rails were already gone.
One of our big thrills when our son was about 2 years old, we'd get in our little car and we'd go to the railroad station in Canaan.
In Norton.
And wait till the train went by so that the conductors would wave
to you. Yeah.
And Pepper used to get such a kick out of that, didn't he?
Well, it's quite a sight when you look back down. Before you got to Billerton on top of the hill, you looked down, the train was in on a cold winter day. They just billowed steam coming up out of the road. They had the water tank there to fill up.
We took them on a train ride once because they'd never been on a train.
Yeah.
Where do we go? Mina?
That was a class ride that went down to Mina.
Was it?
What do you mean by a clash
The classroom grammar.
Oh, class. Oh, classroom. Oh, very good. That's.
Yeah, we took them to New York one time. What was doing?
Yeah.
I remember this.
Oh, that's right.
We were walking along 42nd Street, Jerry, the little one. Then all of a sudden, he stopped and looked up. Look at those great big buildings. Well, if we were hicks, we might as well admit it. That's all it was.
We took them to the Bronx Zoo.
Yeah.
Oh, but I was telling Bob about the time that I took down the milk train down. The,
yeah.
We took the kids from school down, but I forgot that we could give them a train ride. We figured they'd never probably, they'd been in airplanes, but they didn't know anything about a train.
Well, today you'd have to take people on a train ride because who experienced it? We deliberately took a train from Albany, my brother is in Loudonville, down to the city. We were going to JFK, and what a difference. You remember, or I don't know, in Rock Island, we were right at the hub of all the railroads, and we used to, I'd go out to Yellowstone to the place of our railroad, and you'd go into the dining room and how nice it was. Now you go in there, plastic knives, plastic
tables. Oh, really? Yeah. It used to be white linen, napkins, and silverware.
Yes, it's was such a joy, and now it's a
food was, it used to be delicious. I went all across the country, I had to get in the train and back, so I remember that.
No, now it's all canned food, so to speak. It's not.
Well, you know, they try it. They do a pretty good job sometimes on some airlines. Some are awful, but we have had some quite good meals on
here. Yes.
And if you're in first class, you do get the silver in the glass.
When you consider how it has to be done in the air, I think we do a pretty darn good job.
I've had very good experience. We're going down up until last winter. We went to Puerto Rico the year my brother was down, and we fly American. Yeah. It was very good, and he had been in with the airlines, and he used to get us on first class, even though we only paid
the
first class.
Yeah, that's how they started to go down there. That's right, and they loved it down there.
Yeah.
I get a little tired of it now.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's
That was when Lime Rock, it was a dirt road between Lime Rock and High School.
Oh, that was a dirt road.
Oh, sure. It was a dirt
road. Well, of course it had to be. Yeah, one. I don't know. How long ago was that?
Well, let's see. Let me check my cars back. This is at 1928-9, around in there.
Around in there. Sorry. Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, that was before I met you, wasn't it?
Yeah. It also was. That's when the store was in Lime Rock then.
Yes.
You know, where the store is, the final line store. Okay, and then the post office in there too.
Right.
And the mail came up on the train, and Bill Bounds, he was a mailman, he'd go down and get the mail with a horse and wagon. If you throw it off the train, it didn't stop, you threw it off. And he picked up the bag.
There was no train coming through Lime Rock.
Oh, sure.
Oh, through Lime Rock?
Oh, sure. It came all the way up from New York.
Now that isn't where the railroad tracks are going up towards Music Mountain up there, is that where it was?
It's right through Lime Rock Station, right along the river where it goes now, right down to Cornwall.
Off Route 7?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that where they have that scenic train now?
The scenic train.
Yeah, there's a scenic train. Yeah.
Sure, there used to be a lot of trains running up through there all the time.
Where was the station?
The station, Lime Rock Station, was down. If you went across where the bridge is now, which never used to be there, and turned right down to there, that was called Lime Rock Station then.
Yeah.
But the train didn't stop, it drew the mail off.
And
the only paved road in town then in Lime Rock was along the main street and to the foot of the hill before you get to the, was it Dr. Johnson, is it? The hill?
Yeah,
and from there on, it's all dirt. So you go over to 7.
Now, were the forges working at that time, or is that...
No, they were there, but they weren't working in Carwheel place, right?
Carwheel, yeah.
And the dam wasn't where it is now. It was entirely different place.
The dam, you mean...
Where the water's...
You're talking about the one
new bridge in. They changed the dam just so there would be water going over the dam. But the water supply up above there, we used to swim in that. It was pretty deep.
Are we still?
Different.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
used to be storing where the hotel is now, where that, no, it used to be hotel, it was a storing right back beyond it, back still.
Where you go up the steps, where
we used to go down there a lot when it was the Lime Rock Lodge.
Lime Rock Lodge, sure, that was good, man.
That was wonderful food. Mm-hmm. We used to have that English kidney, what was it, kidney pie?
Kidney pie.
That had a good write-up, that Ford, we mentioned Ford. Ford used to put out a little booklet that they sent around. She had a progressive, she was noted for that. She's like, what was her name? Carl Brett.
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 Yeah.
What's her name?
Brett.
Brett?
B-R-E-T-T. Her name is Brett.
Is she still? No.
There used to be so many nice places to eat around that didn't. Remember Oakhurst? Oakhurst,
what's the
place now? Where they're making a development.
Oakhurst Inn. On the road going towards Sharon Avenue.
It burned, didn't it?
Oh, halfway up the hill.
Uh-huh. Didn't that burn?
Yeah.
Oh, that used to be the most wonderful food. And also, you know, you could go have a wonderful dinner for $3.
I'm afraid
well,
those
you
days
can't do that.
You can't even go to Burger King for $3 anymore.
There's one place you can go to and get a good bowl of chili for $3, and that's this place in Great Barrington that I really like on Railroad Street.
Which, oh, 20 Railroad?
Oh, I like that pub.
I like that. That's a funny
and
place.
I love their chili.
I do too. I've had that chili there. We've been there 3 or 4 times. Chili with Genesee cream ale. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
We haven't been there in a long time, have we now? We used to know the man who ran that kick.
Well, he sold it quite a while ago.
He sold a long time ago, and he's what you might say, the head maintenance now at Sharon Hospital, Kick
Seafree. Henry Seafree.
But, well, they didn't call it 20 Railroad then, did they? Or did they?
Yeah.
No. He sold it.
Speaking of Lime Rock again, speaking of young people who lose themselves, all the other fellows there, we'd all had a right to play to every. You spend a whole day or go out hunt woodchucks. Nobody buys. You want to go hunting on their land, go ahead, shoot woodchucks. There's nothing about it. Today you get going along with a rifle, you get put in jail. You
know? It says no trespassing.
Yeah.
I don't pay attention.
So many people took advantage of those things too.
When we lived on the lake, we had almost 3 acres because we were 600 feet and we had it. And we had a target thing for our boys, because Johnny wanted them to learn to use guns. He didn't like somebody who didn't know how to use a gun. He's got a wife who doesn't know how to use it. And so we had a big thing out there with plenty of space.
Oh, we have hay bales.
Hay bales. And the boys would shoot their guns when they had 22s. And then finally, the rangers, it wasn't their fault really, but that we had to stop it because they made a wild game preserve out of the area. There was no more chance of that bullet going anywhere near a bird because we were shooting it. But the boys did learn to use the guns before that stopped. And they were good with guns, small guns, but that all stopped. There was another thing that stopped. And that stopped when the boys were still long before they ever went to school, college.
Oh yeah.
So at least they had that when they were. They had an old car down there. You could do those things then. Now they have some.
You used to take cars out after lake froze over there. You used to cut out the lake.
Oh yes.
On the lake when it froze.
Right out there. Teaching to handle a car on the ice is good training.
Yes. One time when the man who used to give me flying lessons. He landed down on the lake when we were out there skating, so we went up for a ride. I got in the airplane, went up for a ride, landed on the lake. And one time I flew with Johnny Staver, landed up on Copac Lake.
Estelle told us some of those stories, and they had some difficulty with some neighbors that I gather about landing on the lake there.
Oh, well, this was so long ago.
That it was earlier,
But now, of course, they wouldn't mention.
So it used to be used to take. In a light thing, we're flying the Cubs and rocks and stuff like that. When it froze over, you fly around up and land up in the mountain, different places like that.
Howard Hughes landed on our lake one day.
He did. Howard Hughes.
What's her name? Lansing. Yeah. Who now has a Hewitt property way up there.
Up on Selick Hill?
Yeah.
But what was her name? She was a beautiful girl.
I can't remember the name.
But Lansing's, it was
the... came in and landed in the lake and tossed you in there, rolling in a pit, and took you. And we were over there swimming, and he asked us to help moor there where the plume comes out. So we swam out there and helped him tie the thing in there, the anchor, whatever we was doing with the anchor, whatever that, you know.
Now, what brought Howard Hughes here was this young lady.
Yeah.
He was in.
And she, Lansing property was, well, for years it was called the Lansing property. Isn't that where Hewitt's?
Yeah, I still think it was the Lansing property. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hewitt,
Donald Hewitt.
You know, beautiful scene.
Well, that was the Lansing, where the Lansing girl lived, and he apparently had a date with her. I don't know how he got up there from the lake.
They probably came down.
She probably, they probably came down and
the chauffeur down. He's following the chauffeur.
Now, in other words, you would drive the car right onto the lake.
Oh, yes.
When it was frozen.
We had a little, English Austin.
No, it was American Bantam.
American Bantam without any, the top was off.
A Bantam?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would be, now Jerry was born in July. We planned it for June, but he was born in July. And we were out on that lake in the winter with me pregnant, riding around that little car, skidding all over the place.
I bet.
It didn't bother me a bit.
Well, you put a rope on it, the kids get a hold of a rope, they're on skates, and get it going like crazy, and away they go on their own.
Years and years ago, when I was a girl.
That was before you didn't have the fear you have now of such things.
A man drove out in the lake, and his car went in, and he drowned.
He was fishing. He was they were cutting ice or something. Drove up there.
Yeah, but he was to marry this girl named Dora O'Connell.
Yeah.
And the whole town was just absolutely devastated.
I remember Dora.
And that was something that stuck in my mind, that how this man went right down in his car and drowned. Of course, it was icy cold, you know. Where did she live? She lived up in Millerton Road, I know. Yeah. This was so long ago, it's just a dim memory. I don't know if she lived. She ever got married.
I think she lived with Helen Patchelman, so.
And people said, oh, Dora will never get married, you know. And I don't know if she ever did. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But that was one of the sad things I remember about our lake. That was the only one I can remember. Well, we did have children drowning, but that was one not too long ago, 30 years ago. But this was unheard of, to drive a car out and drown. Well, we used to drive the car out, but we made sure.
No, I don't know. What to do it there, you get arrested again. Somebody complaining, and you get the cops behind in no time.
That's right. You were
the very one. That's it. They've restricted so much now on certain things.
And another thing I've noticed in our town, and it doesn't bother me one bit, but in the past few years, is how everybody's fencing themselves in.
Oh, yes. The fencing, the no trespassing sign, and of course
the big fences have been built on Main Street and then up there on top of the hill, on both sides, on the left and up on the right. Of course, some of it could be for noise, you know, the traffic noise.
That hill, they could put trees up.
Then
of course you get the building. There are many places we used to hike. Now you've got new buildings going up.
No matter where you look, there's new buildings going.
Yeah.
Look at the three right in Millerton Road. Three right in a row there, the big one on Belleville.
Oh, right at the beginning, Belleville.
And then two before have brand new. Have you seen those two?
Yes.
Before.
Yes, I did.
Well, I'm of the school who says if they want to do it, they should be able to do it.
Their money, if they want to do it, they can't tell them what to do. That should have been.
No.
Sometimes I envy them the view they've got. We had a few, but the trees grew up. We topped our trees so many times because they would obscure our view. But I doubt very much if the Yokums even use the shore. Maybe they do, but it must be, it's all weedy and everything else. I saw Alice Yoakum up in Charlotte's election night. And did I tell you I spoke to her? And I said, the Harvey House is where Ingersoll building.
Yeah.
And then, I was trying to remember, the, wasn't there somebody seen there in the telephone?
No,
oh, where the telephone building is used to be the Hartford Electric Light Company. Right?
Next house down. Used to be Hartford Electric Light. So that's where you used to, if you had a burned out bulb, you take it in and you give it a new one for nothing.
Yeah.
What's that part? That's part of the health problem.
Oh, I told about Mae Bissell's little sewing club.
Yeah, that was a...
That's the Litchfield Bank.
Yeah.
And then Martin's
Such
Garage.
Such a beautiful place.
That's where the town was run out of Martin's Garage, at least for a second.
Now, where was Martin's Garage?
Right, the mobile station.
Oh, where, uh-huh.
It was a little bit bigger than it was. They rearranged it. But he and Billy McCall, Billy McCall was town clerk, and he brought land to town. That's all they had. They up in town hall with everybody.
That's right. That's all it
Lila,
run the town.
Lila Nash would give you a picture of dog license, hunting license from Lila. But the town didn't have its own equipment in the way of trucks and things. It was all rented, but you might not get plowed out as far as soon as you wanted, but it would get done eventually.
So that the town hall was run out of here?
Yeah, most of the time it run right out of his garage down here.
Well, that's what
they do
he met.
What they do with the building in Salisbury?
Not much of anything up there.
It was just... Nothing there. They didn't
use the upstairs sometimes. They sit for shows, that type of
thing. Oh, that kind of thing.
And the town clerk's office was up there too. And remember that lady, that big tall lady that Lila took it over from? I can't remember her name.
Bill McCullough.
Billy McCullough was working with Martin here, but that other lady up in the town hall that Lila Nash worked with.
Storms?
I can't remember the name. So far as picture,
I was thinking of some of our childhood fun. You were here then, I guess. We used to go up by the Catholic Church. The road wasn't plowed, nothing. We'd all be up there with our sleds and we'd slide all the way down into the village. They didn't bother plowing the roads. What do we do
about
it?
Well, they didn't sand them anyhow. They didn't have to
sand
them. You came here as a young...
Yeah, I came around. I remember my life.